Through their investment in the Corn Checkoff, Minnesota's corn growers are fueling research that builds a more sustainable future for farmers and all Minnesotans. Each month, we will be speaking with the researchers who are leading the projects helping farmers become better stewards of the land and developing new markets that increase profitability.
Today, we're talking with Jeff Vetch, a researcher with the University of Minnesota Southern Research and Outreach Center.
Jeff, tell me about some of the research that you've been doing in collaboration with the Minnesota corn growers.
So we started a study looking at the interaction between cover crops and nitrogen rate to see if we could reduce the amount of nitrogen or mitigate the amount of nitrogen that's lost in tile drainage. Our previous research has shown that subsurface drainage systems deliver a lot of nitrate to surface waters, which can thereby degrade water quality. How much depends upon the cropping system, the weather, of course, and nitrogen management, the old BMPs or the 4Rs, whatever you want to refer to them as. There's been several strategies that have been proposed to reduce nitrate losses from corn production systems, including the 4Rs or BMPs, things like rate of N, timing, and the source and placement. And then cover crops has been discussed a lot and has been researched a fair amount in the last 10 or 15 years. The two research questions that we really wanted to look at with this study was, how does the species selection of an overseeded cover crop and its date of termination affect its ability to mitigate or reduce the amount of nitrogen lost in subsurface tile drainage in the south central Minnesota region? And then what effects and interactions do nitrogen rate and these cover crop species and termination dates have on not only nitrate losses in tile drainage, but also on corn and soybean production in a corn-soybean rotation? So we did this study at our drainage research facility here in Waseca. It's a poorly drained clay loam soil. There's 36 tile drain plots that have an individual tile for each plot, and they're separated from other plots by a barrier of plastic that's buried around the perimeter of them. We had cover crop treatments and nitrogen rates that comprised our 9 treatments that were replicated 4 times. The cover crop treatments included no cover, a cereal rye with spring termination with herbicides, and a blend of annuals that were terminated by cool temperatures or freezing temperatures in the winter. And that blend of annuals included annual rye, radish, and clover. The nitrogen rates were a control, which received only 3 pounds of nitrogen in a starter, 120 pounds of total N, and 150 pounds of total N for corn, fong, soybean.
You said timing was kind of the other area of this that you really wanted to dig into. So whether you want to talk results first or the timing of overseeding the cover crop, let's kind of go those directions next.
So the cover crops that we used were, as I said, were overseeded. And this was done in early September, which is kind of the R6 growth stage for soybean, which would be just before the leaves drop, or R5 in corn, or just prior to corn starting to senesce. We used a fall tillage system of fall strip till for each crop, both corn and beans, and we use that to apply our P and K fertilizer in a band. And also, this tillage system would allow for us to allow that cereal rye to overwinter without destroying it with fall tillage. The study was initiated in the fall of 2016, and in mid-October of 2016, we had good establishment in that first year of both our cereal rye and our annual cover, our annual blend. In late October, we applied our strip tillage and our fertilizer applications, and even by mid-November, we still had good green cover from both of those systems prior to winter freeze-up. In the spring of 2017, about April 17th, we sprayed the cereal rye with an application of glyphosate to terminate it. At that time, we had a good cover of about 6 to 7 inches. But even as that 6 or 7 inches only amounted, when we collected samples, only actually produced about 200 to 250 pounds of dry matter per acre. And in 2017, that was the best establishment year we had of our overseeded cover crops. From our results, we looked at nitrate concentration, but we also looked at nitrate nitrogen in the soil. In the spring of 2017, we saw a really nice reduction of nitrate inorganic or nitrate nitrogen in the soil where we use the cereal rye, a modest reduction or a minimal reduction with the annual blend compared to the no cover treatments. In 2017, we saw nitrate concentration in the tile drainage water was reduced up to 70% with the cereal rye compared to no cover. And the annual blend reduced nitrate concentration about 20%. Interestingly, there were no effects of nitrogen rate in that first year, as the majority of the tile drainage we received that year occurred in the spring, and our N application included some nitrogen applied at planting, but the majority of the nitrogen applied at V4 side dress, and most of our tile drainage had actually occurred before we side dressed the nitrogen. In early September, we noticed in the cereal rye treatments that our 120-pound nitrogen rate was starting to show some nitrogen deficiency that was not seen in other, either the no cover or the annual blends. So this suggested that not only was the good cereal rye good scavenger of nitrate from the soil and reduced nitrate in the tile drainage, but it was not, that nitrogen was not re-released and available for that plant or for that corn crop later on. And we also noticed this, of course, in the yields, as our corn grain yields were reduced in our low end treatments, the 3 pounds or the control and the 120 pounds, wherever we had the cereal rye. But where we used 150 pounds of nitrogen, there were no differences among the cover crop treatments. 2018, the field was in soybeans. We again established the cover crops the previous year, and the cereal rye did establish okay, and we left it go till the spring and terminated it, but we had very poor total biomass, only about 50 pounds of dry matter. It did reduce nitrate concentration in tile drainage and flow-adjusted nitrate losses in tile drainage, but only by about 20%, and the annual blend of covers had no effect. There were, not surprisingly, there was a difference in 2017 among N rates that were applied for the 2017 corn crop, and with higher N rates, we saw slightly greater nitrate concentrations than in the control, which would be expected. In the fall of 2018, going into the 2019 corn growing season, again, we did not get very good establishment of the cover crop, very minimal growth, and both the 2018 and 2019 years were similar in that they both had wet springs and wet falls with cool growing conditions that just did not allow that cover crop to really thrive, both in the fall and again in the following spring. Even though it did germinate, it just did not grow very well. Both years, we had a lot of tile drainage in excess of 12 or 14 inches in both years. But in 2019 corn crop, we saw no negative effects of either the cover crop treatments, of any of the cover crop treatments on corn yield. Yields were similar, and the only thing they were affected by was nitrogen rate. To kind of summarize what we saw, the cereal rye cover that was terminated in the spring prior to planting was effective at reducing nitrate, nitrogen concentration, and flow-adjusted losses in the tile drainage by up to as much as 70% in the 2017 corn year and by 20% in the 2018 soybean year. And these were years where we had decent establishment, especially in 2017. But we did not see any effects to the cover crops in reducing nitrate concentrations in 2019. A greater nitrogen rate was needed to optimize corn yield with the cereal rye in 2017, but there were no effects of the negative effects of the cereal rye on corn yields in 2019. We really saw minimal water quality benefits from the annual blends. These annual blend covers that terminate in the fall, either by freezing temperatures or if a grower was going to use full width tillage, they can be effective cover crops in for crops like sweet corn or peas or maybe corn silage that are harvested earlier and they have greater times to grow. But with full season corn and soybeans, it just doesn't appear that these cover crops are going to be a good choice for those systems. Certainly, you're going to have minimal water quality benefit, or that's what we're seeing. The good news is none of these cover crop treatments had any negative effects on soybean yields. Soybean yields were unaffected by treatments. And I think a closing comment would be some of the challenges that I see in cover crops or that we've seen in this study. And one is establishment. We're getting good germination of these overseeded cover crops, but when the weather doesn't cooperate with warm temperatures in the fall or decent springs or warm early springs, we just don't get the crop, cover crop, to thrive and really grow very well. And you need that biomass development to really produce a cover crop that's going to scavenge nitrate and have water quality benefits and have soil health benefits as well. And then the economics of overseeding these cover crops. The rates that we're applying in our overseeded cover crops range anywhere from $50 to $70 per acre for the cover crop seed itself at the prices we're paying and for an estimated overseeding application. So these are going to be challenges that growers have to overcome or figure out ways to deal with. And then tillage is obviously going to be a factor. The cereal rye is going to be best if it's left to overwinter. So growers that traditionally use full-width tillage following both corn and soybeans every fall, you're going to terminate that cereal rye, and it's really not going to do what it needs to do unless it's allowed to grow over the winter or to overwinter and grow again in the spring before termination.
Jeff, the only other follow-up that I have would be if you wouldn't mind articulating the importance of the Minnesota corn growers identifying this area of production agriculture as a priority, their support Sure. in the research that is ongoing.
Research trial has been funded by the Minnesota corn growers and the corn farmers of Minnesota's checkoff dollars. I'd like to thank them for their commitment to looking at research that not only has production or aspects, but also looks at benefits of water quality and the environment in our Minnesota agriculture. It's really important that we identify the balance between production and watching out for our environment here in Minnesota.
To learn more about his research, visit mncorn.org.